The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars from the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior one after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Today, our gospel reading is the story of the miracle at the wedding in Cana, a story that is well known, I dare say, even beyond Christian circles because of the inclusion of the alcohol. Just a little bit of background about Jewish wedding celebrations in the first century. They weren't one-evening affairs. Typically, this was a series of festivities taking place over several days with family members and friends and people from the village all invited. So you might imagine that in the midst of all of those festivities, the bride and the groom weren't typically paying a lot of attention to how many supplies that they had. And sometimes, even the parents of the bride and the groom weren't. In this story, the people who were paying attention, who realized when supplies were running low, were the servants, right? Those folks who assist in so many unseen and unacknowledged ways. And the mother of Jesus, not called Mary in John's gospel, but just Jesus's mother. And Mary asked her son to get involved. Now, Jesus wasn't ready to reveal publicly that he was the Messiah at this point in the narrative. After all, this is the start of his public ministry in the Gospel of John. It's the first miracle, after all. But like a good son, he complied with his mother's request. He listened to his mother, and he did what she asked. And so the servants were instructed to fill the six stone jars to the brim with water, each holding about 30 gallons, as we heard in the gospel. That's 180 gallons of wine, sisters and brothers. That's a lot. So after several days of feasting and partying and celebrating, the guests, whether they were aware of it or not, were given wine of the highest quality. We're in the season of Epiphany, the season of light, the manifestation or the revelation of God's activity in this world in an entirely new way after the birth of Jesus. And it's a season filled with surprises, with delight, and abundance. Consider the steward. He was surprised at the turn of events and, dare I say, delighted. Because we typically don't serve the best wine when the guests are too drunk to realize it. But we can't always predict how God chooses to engage with us, can we? Just like the steward, you and I may have opportunities when we are filled with joy and astonishment at the abundance of God's tremendous generosity. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, God saves the best for last. It's not always how we start, but it's how we end. And one of the ways of considering the season of Epiphany is to view it as a series of small moments of grace in the midst of our everyday lives. Because, you know, we can encounter the risen Lord anywhere we find ourselves, not just in church and in beautiful buildings such as this, but in the grocery store or the drugstore, at work or at school or at a party. Miracles don't always look like healing or deliverance from a huge, complex situation. No, I think God giving us a moment of joy and delight in the middle of an otherwise ordinary day, that's a miracle in and of itself. And consider the fact that each one of us has been blessed by God with certain spiritual gifts that we heard about in the epistle. That's a miracle, because all good gifts, all good things come from God. I wonder, have you ever taken a spiritual gifts inventory? Are you even aware of the gifts with which you have been blessed? I hope you have, because all of us have gifts and talents. And if you know, how have you utilized them? You know, sometimes we're so focused on the day-to-day grind, in a sense, that our gifts and skills are primarily used for our own benefit and the benefit of our immediate family and maybe close friends. But I believe, my sisters and brothers, that God has provided us with gifts for the benefit of the common good, right? We're not in this by ourselves. I need you, and you need me. And the community is the strongest when everyone's gifts and skills are valued and cultivated and uplifted. And I look forward to the day when every person can fully develop and utilize their God-given gifts for God's greater glory. Because I think the reality is that sometimes we're threatened by the gifts of others. Or maybe I shouldn't project onto you. Sometimes I have been threatened by the gifts of others. If we're paralyzed by fear of people who are different, we may lash out and diminish their gifts because of our own vulnerability or fear or insecurity. But the thing about that is, it seems to me that when we hold other people back, they're not the only ones who suffer. No, we all suffer. If we've got sort of players on the bench, as it were, who've got great skills, but they're not permitted to go into the game, the team isn't going to be as successful, right? We want our strongest, our best, and we want everybody's strongest and best to come together for the greater good. On Monday, I will be off because of the birthday of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. King heard God's call at an early age and committed his life to expand opportunities for all people of all backgrounds through nonviolent strategies. And what motivated him was he observed in his own experiences that every man and woman, every boy and girl, they weren't allowed to reach their full potential. And what he wanted was for everybody to reach his or her full potential. And you all know, right, at the time of his death in 1968, he was here in Memphis advocating on behalf of sanitation workers. 5 years earlier, in Birmingham, Alabama, Dr. King wrote, and I quote, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly." I love that notion of an inescapable network of mutuality and a single garment of destiny. I wonder what Dr. King would think about the state of affairs in our nation and our world if he were still alive. But one thing is true. He didn't just complain about a problem. No, he devoted his life to improving conditions for the least, the lost, and the lonely. And yes, God is omniscient and all-powerful and all-knowing, and I suppose God probably could snap God's fingers and solve every problem in an instant if God so chose. But for whatever reason, God wants us to be a part of the solution. And things aren't going to improve unless you and I sort of roll up our proverbial sleeves and get involved. There is much work to be done to heal the deep divisions in our nation and in our world. And I wonder, how might God be calling each one of us to become a repairer of the breach? And that's not just a question for us individually. The diocesan leadership team is asking, how might the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee really be more involved and engaged to make things better? What is St. Andrew's role in all of this? You know, it's scary to try to step out on faith and to improve the situation of our common life, and it makes us uncomfortable. It pushes us outside of our comfort zones. But you know, I don't think we're called to be perfect or to have all the answers, but we are called to do something. So what's the good news in all of this? Well, our God is faithful. The one who calls us, who invites us into this work, is also the one who equips us through the working of the Holy Spirit to carry it out. And whenever our internal supplies are running low, God will replenish them. You know, our own resources are insufficient for the task, but through Christ, we can do all things, and God's grace and mercy and compassion never fail. So if you have a period when you feel that you are lacking in any area, remember to call upon Jesus to supply all of your needs, just as Mary did at the wedding in Cana. And don't be surprised if Jesus ends up saving the best for last. because that's what he does sometimes. And in the meantime, may we as a community of faith continue to support one another and encourage one another, to listen to one another and to be present for one another as we journey. We are a family in Christ. We're not called to go through this journey on our own. And so for that, we can give thanks in God's holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.